And stay standing, grab your Bibles, go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. You find the book of Romans, be right after that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll read verses 12 through 20 responsively this evening. I'll begin reading in verse number 12, and you'll join me on verse 13. We'll read like that down through verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 12. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." We'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for its simplicity. Lord, we thank you that so many years later, it still applies to each and every one of us. And tonight, Lord, we're here because we desire to hear the word of God being preached. We do thank you. We don't take for granted the country we live in. We don't take for granted the people that we get to call friends and family. Lord, we do thank you for our church family. Lord, now as we're here tonight to hear the word of God preach, I'd ask that you'd fill our pastor now with the Holy Spirit's power, give him clarity of thought as he preaches the truth that's been placed in his heart. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you a little introduction tonight. I don't prepare sermons the week that I preach them normally. I have a file in my office, a couple files in my office. I have in a file sitting on my desk right now. Just before I left for the service tonight, I counted there was 12 sermons ready to go. It's all I need to pull them out, stick them in the gun, and pull the trigger. They're totally done. In my study Bible that I work out of, that's sitting on my desk right now, I preach out of this Bible, but I work out of my other one. They're the same King James Bible. That's all there is. I'm actively working on 13 sermons right now. I have 13 sermons in different levels of doneness that I work on constantly. So that means I have about 25 sermons pretty much so ready to go at any time. It's kind of like you ladies, you don't go to the store before every meal to get what you need for that meal. You fill up the cupboard and you go to the cupboard and you make your meals for the week or every 2 weeks or once a month, however you do it. That's kind of like how I prepare sermons. I prepare many different kinds of sermons all the time and I try to feed you what you need. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, you say, why did you say that, preacher? Because tonight's a little bit more of a Bible study than necessarily a preaching. I'm not going to spit and stomp and snort, and I don't plan to. I may, I don't know, but this is a little bit more of a study, but I think it's important for our church, especially as we grow. Our church is growing. We have more people here on a Sunday night than we used to run on Sunday morning. And that's a good problem to have, amen? We've got about 25 extra chairs in the auditorium from what we had 3 months ago. And that's on a Sunday night service. So we're growing. That means as we grow, we've got more people that need to be brought up to where some of you have been for a while. You'll have to be patient with newer people. They don't know everything you know. And by the way, you don't know as much as you think you know. And I get that, but I'm not afraid to repeat things from time to time. I'm not losing my mind. I repeat on purpose. and I'll say it on purpose. I'm not like some of you that just say it over and over and over again. And I don't talk to dead people like the president. So now, tonight we're going to take, by the way, I take a literal approach to the Word of God. That book was given to all of us, not any one group of people. I've heard idiots get up and say, well, the Bible was written to Jews. It's not for the Gentile. They're idiots. That's not what God said. And I happen to believe God's smart enough to put it in terminology that we humans can understand. We don't need to improve on it. We just need to live what he put down. And I just take it literally as he says it. I don't read commentaries. I don't read what other preachers say. I don't sit at the computer and get my sermons off the internet. This is all study, 42 years of preaching and 40 some years of studying the Word of God, trying to help people, being led by the Holy Spirit to feed you what you need. That's what it's all about. Now, the church is a very interesting thing. We're going to take one segment of it tonight, and I'm going to talk about it. The church is compared to a body. God says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, let me back up and say this. And I'm not going to go through old scriptures because I've done it quite a few times. Jesus died not just for your salvation. He also paid for the church with his own blood, Acts says. He bought the church with his blood. The same price it took to get you saved is the same price it took for the church. Jesus said upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say, I would build a temple. Look how many times Jesus went to the temple or the synagogue to preach to get people saved. The temple and the synagogue were false religion. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, I say that to say this. Let me quote a man that you may know this name, Sir Isaac Newton, the great mathematician of the 16 and early 1700s. He said this, the Baptists are the only body of known Christians that have never symbolized with Rome. The Baptists have been around for hundreds of years before there ever was a Catholic. Baptists are not Protestants. Baptists are Baptists. It happens to be that there was a man named John the what? That baptized Jesus into the church that Jesus started. Baptist wasn't his last name. The Baptist church is the one that Jesus started. Now, I'm going to say something else that's going to twist somebody's tail if I'm successful. I don't give a flip about the apostles. We don't have to have a church based on the 12 apostles. We don't have to. There's something in the Catholic teaching called apostolic succession. Or succession or whatever they call that. Should be cessation. But that means that everything goes back to the 12 apostles and Peter being the leader and he was the first pope. Well, Peter had a mother-in-law, and if he had a mother-in-law wasn't married, then the first pope was married. Catholic Church didn't come about until Constantine in 336, over 300 years after Calvary. Baptists had been around for over 300 years before there ever was a Catholic thought of. And the word Catholic, don't get mad at me, the word Catholic means universal. It means under one universe. Now, there is a dangerous teaching about the church. And I want to help you with that tonight. There is a teaching out there amongst many theologians, liberals, by the way, that wouldn't know how to win a soul to Christ if you pointed them to hell. They teach that everybody who gets saved is part of the invisible or universal church. That's Catholic teaching. That's not Bible teaching. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. It was a local, the word church is the word ekklesia. It means called out assembly. That means we are called out of the world to assemble together in unity around the doctrines of the Word of God, not the doctrine of the church. The doctrine of the Word of God. Isn't it amazing? You go through the book of Revelation, it talks about seven churches. It doesn't say seven church ages. It talks about churches in certain cities. These were independent churches. They weren't all making up the church. That is a Catholic teaching. The Protestant Reformation, led by Martin Luther led what they called the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther didn't like the fact that he didn't have as much power as the Pope. He withdrew so that he could be the Pope of his own religion. You know that Martin Luther killed more Baptists than the Popes did? Martin Luther was not this good man that everybody thinks he is. People have hated Baptists since Jesus started the church. I hate to disappoint you. Sir Isaac Newton was right that the Baptists are the only ones that have not bowed the knee to Rome. The Protestants are those who protested the Catholic Church and came out of it. I won't take the time to do it tonight, but I could show you in the book of Revelation where it talks about the mother of harlots being the Catholic Church. Guess who the harlots are? That's all her babies that came out of her at the Protestant Reformation. The Methodists, the Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, the Nazarenes, all of them, they all came out of it. By the way, that's why they're all going back to her. That's why all of them are more and more and more like the Catholic Church than they used to be. Now, all that to say this, we haven't even got to the message yet. There is that false doctrine of this universal church. I hate to tell you something, but just because you're a member of Grace Baptist Church doesn't mean you're a part of this great universal church of every saved person in the world that ever has been or ever will be, because guess what? We're not all assembled together yet. Won't happen till you get to heaven. That's called the marriage feast of the Lamb. Marriage feast. There's no such thing as all Christians being together until the rapture. So there's no way all of us together combined could be this universal church. Everybody understand that? All right, now let me help you. God talks about it, and God uses an illustration here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he likens a person's body to the church. Now, your body is one unit, correct? You can't separate your body. But your body has, I think, 162 or 164 bones. Don't hold me to that, but I'm in the ballpark. You start with the toe bones and go to the foot bone, the ankle bone, leg bone, shin bone, knee bone, thigh bone, hip bone, back bone, neck bone, head bone. Then bones got up and walked around one day, man. Now, wait a minute. There's 27 bones in the back of your hand alone. So you multiply that by two, and then you've got multiple bones in your feet. Then all of the larger bones, you've got many ribs. You've got other bones elsewhere. You got bones in your ear. Now, all that to say this, all of those comprise one body. And God says the body is many members, but it makes up one functioning unit. The church has many parts to it, but it makes up one functioning unit. Amen. But guess what? This body is not the same as that body. Thank God. Yeah. This one's got a little more wisdom, but that one's got less mileage. Now, wait a minute. Just because we are two separate bodies, though, doesn't mean we can't get along. God compares the church to the body. And he goes through this and he says, look, just because the foot says I'm not a hand doesn't mean that the foot is a separate body. Aren't you glad God put your nose on your face and not in your shoes? It wouldn't matter for me right now because I can't smell anyway. I haven't for 2 years. But think about how God put this body together and how well it functions, usually. Due to sin, it doesn't function like it used to. But there's this false doctrine of everybody makes up one body. That's not true. God makes some people big, tall. Some people, God makes people short. God makes some people wider. Some people are skinnier. God makes some smart. God makes some not so smart. God makes them in all different colors. But guess what? You have all those combinations in your body too. Not every part looks the same. But it all makes up one body. Now, let me help you with this for a second here. Number one, we don't need to desire someone else's position in the body. Can I tell you something? Don't become worldly. Don't become like the world that everything is about position. Did you know every part of your body is important? And you'll know how important it is when you stub your toe on the bedpost in the middle of the night. That little toe might not be very big, but it becomes very important when you go in the night. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Man, I broke my big toe when I was in Bible college. I was running to my car, and it was icy out. And Brother Mike, I got almost there, and I hit a patch of ice. I was about 19. And all of a sudden, I started, you know, trying not to fall down. I got a suit on. I'm Mr. Cool. I'm running in my dress shoes and hit that ice with leather soles. And I'm like this. And just at the wrong time, one of those concrete parking things was there. And my toe went kapow. And I face planted, tore my britches open at the knee. And I thought, oh, that hurt. It's about 15 degrees outside, snow and ice on the ground in northwest Indiana. Bad cold, and I've got a 1980 Ford Escort 4-speed. I got into my car thinking, man, my foot really hurts. I couldn't even push the gas pedal with my right foot that I cracked into that thing. Did you ever try to drive a stick shift with your left foot only? You're working three pedals, and I got to do all three pedals with one foot because I could not. If I put any pressure on that foot, I was screaming in pain. I got back to my dorm room. I hopped in. I got my shoe off. I was afraid to take my sock off. I take my sock off, and my big toe's about that big around and purple all the way back to my ankle. I said, this is not a good thing. That was on a Saturday night. I couldn't even get a shoe on Sunday morning. I had to go to church with a shoe on and a slipper on. Finally, Sunday night after church, I couldn't take it anymore. I talked to my dad, my mom. They said, you better go to the hospital. Sounds like you broke it. And I did. I say, what'd they do for you? Nothing. Charge you a few $100 and sent you home. Say, you'll be all right. Just put walk with crutches for a couple weeks and put what weight on it you can. Oh, man, that you don't realize how much your big toe hurts till you break it like that. I had broken that first bone from the tip of it clear to the joint. It just cracked it like that. I saw the x-ray. I said, well, no wonder that hurt. Now, wait a minute. It's not a big member, but boy, you thump that thing the wrong way, you find out how important that big toe is. The Bible says that the feet shouldn't desire to be a hand. Well, if you don't have the position you want in church, you ought not desire somebody else's position. It's not a matter of position. It's a matter of playing your role in the body. It's called teamwork. No one group or no one person is more important than any other person. When you're in the bathroom and the commodes are dirty and there's no toilet paper and there's no hand towels in there, the person who cleans the bathrooms and restocks everything becomes the most important person in the church. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When the grass is waist deep, the people who mow the grass become the most important. When there's snow on the ground, the people that get here before church starts and clear the parking lots and the driveway become the most important people. You see, it depends on what the situation is. You value it because you want to be seen of men. You want that prominent position. Well, I thank God for a lot of my body parts that you can't see while I'm standing here, my back being one of them. You can't see my backbone, but I'm glad it's there and working for the most part. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not important. I'm thank God for my ticker, my heart. It's still thumping, praise the Lord. One day it's going to quit. But until then, I'm glad, even though I can't see it, I'm glad it's still working. By the way, that's why I don't believe there ought to be cliques in church. A clique is a group of people thinking they're more important than everybody else. I'll stop that in a hurry. Guess what? The ground's level at the cross. You're no better than anybody else, and you're no worse than anybody else. Somebody said to me a few months ago, I was out soul winning, they said, well, I know somebody in your church, and they're a sinner. I said, I can do you one better than that. Everybody in my church is a sinner, including the preacher. I said, guess what? They said, what? I said, you are too. They said, what do you mean? I went to Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, you're a sinner. I said, every person in my church is a sinner because every human being is a sinner. Quit complaining about somebody else's sin. Well, you don't know them like I know them. I said, no, but their sin's under the blood. How about yours? They promptly closed the door as quickly as they could. You see, we're not to desire a position. We're not supposed to be wanting what somebody else has. Can I tell you something? Just play your role. Just play your part. You say, well, I don't know what it is. Come see me. We'll find a part for you to play. Next, every member is needed. I realize you can lose certain parts of your body and still function, but you won't function as well as if you had those. There are people in here, you've lost toes. There's people in here, I know people who have lost parts of a leg. I know people who have lost both legs, an arm, part of an arm, fingers. My neighbor a couple months ago was working with the table saw and wasn't paying attention like he should. And when he pushed the board through there, he cut all five fingers on his left hand. Cut one of them all the way off, and the other one he's lost total use of. He's only got use of three fingers. And one's gone. And I told him, I said, that was the wrong finger to lose. You pick your nose with that finger. And he said, I got another one on the other hand. You see, you can function without certain body parts, but the body doesn't function as well. By the way, the church won't function as well without you being here either. You're important to the church. You say, well, I don't do anything but show up. Guess what? That's an important thing. It's important for you to be here. Because the more you're here, guess what? The stronger you'll get. You'll get to be a part of this thing. You become more part of it. The church can function without a member, but it doesn't function as well. We as a church need you. By the way, we're supposed to be growing. That means we're supposed to go out and get others and bring them into our body so we can grow. Do you know that when you were born and you were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pounds? Anybody over 10 pounds when you were born? All right. Brother Greg, how big were you?
13.
God bless your mother. God bless your mother. Yeah. They called him Baby Huey. So, you know, anywhere from, and I've seen babies as small as 2 or 3 pounds, all the way up to the whopper that came out eating double cheeseburgers. 13 pounds. Wait a minute. If Brother Greg stayed 13 pounds and 25 inches his whole life, we would say something is wrong. His body would grow. Now, he didn't come out and start growing more fingers or more hands or more toes. What he had enlarged. It was already large to start with, but he supersized it, amen? Now, wait a minute. As you grow, you don't get new parts. You just expand what you have. And the older you get, the more it expands. I'm kind of like Brother Hyos. I used to have a 40-inch chest. Now it's dropping. I'm hoping I live long enough. I'm losing weight. It's dropping. But if I live long enough, hopefully I come out my feet and I'm done. Amen. Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to be growing, but that doesn't mean that you're adding new body parts. It means you're expanding what you do have. That's what church growth is all about. It is growing by adding more people, expanding what we have. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. When you're not here, part of the body is missing. It's that simple. Number three, we shouldn't hurt our own body. Can I help you? We live in a strange world. We live in a world that the outside world, the lost world, tells you if you're emotionally hurting, you take a knife and start cutting yourself, start bleeding. You start doing damage to your own body. That's stupidity. Amen. I hate to tell you. Well, I just hurt so bad. I got to cut myself. If you need that, come see me. And I've counseled people through that mess. Now, don't get mad at me. When you start running your mouth about somebody in the church, you're tearing down your own body. Gossip is tearing down your own body. That's why I don't think we ought to run around telling people all the negative. That's why there's nothing in the Bible about when somebody does something wrong in the church, you stand them up and they have to tell the whole church what they did wrong. That's gossip. Number one, you can't forgive them anyway. Only God can forgive their sin. The only reason people do that is so that, well, we want to shame them so they won't do it again. You're not the one that has to pick up the pieces decades later like I do of people that are bitter against God and church over that mess. You can't fix their sin anyway. Amen. Only God can. Well, you're trying to cover it up. I don't have to. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. Take it up with God. A person who hurts themselves is like a person who wants to tear down another church member. Bless God, they don't have their kids under control, and I'm going to go give them what for. Well, go back in your life. You didn't always have your kids under as much control as you thought you did. I'm not going there. I am not going there. You know, in other words, let's not judge others by how you think. How about we let God take care of the judgment? You know, a foot shouldn't judge the nose. And the nose shouldn't judge the stinky feet. That nose never had to stand in a pair of shoes and socks 16 hours in a day. It doesn't understand. Everybody doing okay? Every body part has its different function and feature. Man, I'm having fun. Y'all are looking right now. Next, all positions in the body are important. You know, the eye is a small part of the body, but it's pretty important. If you couldn't see at all, you'd find out how important your eye is. My dad's legally blind in one eye. His left eye, he had a stroke on the optic nerve, and he's lost 90% vision in his left eye. He only has peripheral vision in his left eye. After it happened, and once he got through the shock of it, I said, "You're lucky. You don't have to close your eyes when you shoot a gun now. You just..." And we've learned how to joke with it. But there's a lot of parts to it that's pretty rough, because when you only have one eye, you don't have good depth perception. God's made it to where both of your eyes functioning give you depth perception. Put a patch over your eye and try to grab things once, and you'll find out how poor that really is. Now, it'll adapt some. Okay, my eyes, they're old and wore out, but I'm colorblind. I'm real bad colorblind. They've come out with new glasses for people that are colorblind. Well, I took the test, and they said, "You're too colorblind for the colorblind glasses." Wrong answer. It's pretty bad. When you fail the colorblind test for the colorblind glasses, there's no hope. Now, wait a minute. I see color, but I don't see it like everybody else does. And that's fine. One day when I get to heaven, I'll be able to see everything the way it's supposed to be seen. 2 years ago, I lost my smell and my taste. I haven't got it back in 2 full years. I'm looking forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb so I can taste food again. Yeah, food is without no smell and without no taste. It gets pretty discouraging. Now, wait a minute. The kidney might not be a big part of your body. It's only about that big. But if one of you can live with one, but if they both go bad, you're in trouble. I preached my mama's funeral over kidneys that went bad. That's what happens. You say, but it's just such a little part. Do you know your heart's not much bigger than your fist? Watch that stop one time and see how you do. Your heart's just about the size of your fist. It's not very big, but it does more work than the rest of your body put together. And if it stops, the rest of your body stops. You see, I don't know who the most important person in the church is. I really don't. So, well, preacher, that would be you. But I don't clean the bathrooms and put all the paper products in there and everything else. I don't sweep and clean all the floors. Don't mop the floors all the time. There's a lot of things. I definitely don't do the punching the numbers in and all the things in the computer box. Keeping track of all that kind of stuff. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of things that I don't do here. I oversee it, but I don't do it. I can't tell you that I'm the most important part of this church. I can't tell you who is. I can tell you at the moment, while the preaching's going on, the nursery workers are pretty important. Especially last Sunday morning when we had 14 of them puppies in there and they're blowing out diapers everywhere. You would not want that going on in here. I know when Sunday morning church is going on and junior church is back there, I think junior church becomes pretty important at that point in time because you really don't want that noise in here. You say, preacher, what's the most important part of the church? I don't know. So I guess we all ought to make what we have the most important part. Number next, and I'll finish. A body has to be unified to work together and to work well. Do you know, some people have problems from time to time. They get diseases and they lose control of their body functions. They if you have a stroke, sometimes you lose control of an arm or a leg or both, or sometimes parts of your body you lose a little bit of control over. And we say something's wrong, yes, because it's not connecting right. Can I tell you something? It all has to work together well to function right. Our church has to unify around that book right there. We need to support one another, not criticize one another. As long as somebody's doctrinally correct, how about we support them? Say, well, I don't agree with everything they say. You don't agree with yourself on everything either. If you're over the age of 25, you've changed your mind about things a whole lot. If you've added kids to that, you've changed it every day. You understand why some animals eat their own young. Mm-hmm. I've heard some women say there's some critters out there that kill their mate, and they understand that too. I understand that, but can I tell you something? We better learn to pull together. This church is very unique. We don't have little schisms. We don't have little cliques. I'm glad when somebody comes into our church that's new, it's not, you can't sit there, that's my seat. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I'm glad that somebody comes to our church and they come as a visitor, but they'll leave as part of the family here because that's the way it's supposed to be. Josh and Ruth Ann are fostering kids right now, and I'm glad their children call my wife and I Grandma and Grandpa. We may not have them forever. Guess what? They need somebody to love them. I'll be an adopted grandma and grandpa to anybody that needs it now of a certain age. All right? No thanks, Scott. I would not claim that. Your mother told me not to. I know, Yeah. You know, we ought to work together well. When we have our men's activity out of here, I got two men that are in charge. Just jump in and follow behind. If I'm out there, I'm not the one in charge. I'm not running the equipment. Brother Mike, Brother Josh Bandy are leading that thing, not me. I'll be the follower, not the leader then. Say, why? You don't want me running that equipment. Now, I can run some of it, but not the way Brother Mike can. Not the way Brother Josh can. When it comes to the music, he's the leader, not me. And you're glad. Now, wait a minute. We've got to learn to lead. We've got to learn when to follow. You might be, I think it's interesting to me. It really is. There's times you'll be the leader over somebody's children, and then their parents are going to be the leaders of your children. You might teach them or work with them in Sunday school or junior church, and then they're going to be in the school the next day under somebody else's leadership. Guess what? That's part of growing up. Well, they don't lead them quite like I do. They're not supposed to. They're not mom and dad. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. We don't need to be hobnobbing with all the churches around. Amen. I'm not part of the ministerial association. I'm not going to sit down and eat breakfast and lunch and dinner with people that don't believe right doctrine. I'm friendly with a lot of pastors, even some local pastors. But I'm not going to go preach across town in somebody else's church. I don't think it's healthy. They might, like me, leave their church and come here. And that's not fair to that pastor. Nor would I have them come here because I don't want you going to that church. Everybody doing all right? Now, I've preached for Brother C, but he's 45 minutes to an hour away from all of us. He's a dear friend of mine. I've had Brother C preach here. But I'm not worried about it. He's far enough away from most everybody. And I've had one meal with Brother C in the last 10 years. One. We're both so busy building churches, we're too busy to fellowship with each other. I don't hate him. I love the guy. I texted him this week. I said, hey, how's church building going? He gave me an update because they're getting ready to build a new building. They've had to restructure everything because of all the price changes and everything else. And they've had to back up and build about half or a third of what they had planned on doing because of the cost increase. So because of that, they had to go through all the paperwork all over again, start at ground zero and go all the way back through the process. So it's taken them a lot longer than they planned. It's all right. We're not supposed to have divisions in our church. When we start splitting Sunday school classes, one class isn't better than the other class. We're all a church. We'll divide people by age somewhat and different things like that, but not just because that's an easier way to divide people, but it doesn't mean that one is more important than the other. I'm supposed to get along with a lot of people. But it doesn't mean I'm going to lose my independence. Amen. I'm not going to yoke up with everybody and form my own assembly of churches. I'm having way too much fun doing what I'm doing. I talked to a preacher this week. He said, Brother Bush, you don't go to many conferences, do you? I said, nope. He said, why not? I said, I'm too busy. I said, I've been a part of and led and spoken in many of the last 20, 25 years, some of the most major conferences in the nation. I said, I don't need a conference to tell me what to do. I need to do what I used to teach people to do in those conferences. Amen. I said, I don't go to a conference to get encouraged. I said, it's all I got to do is show up to church and I get encouraged. If I got to go somewhere to get pumped up every month or two or three, I know I have a preacher friend of mine. He's got to go to a conference every 6 to 8 weeks or he'd quit the ministry. the last time he told me about this, I said, do yourself a favor, quit the ministry. Get an honest job. He said, what do you mean? I said, if you got to go to a conference and get picked up, I said, why don't you learn to walk with God? I don't need somebody else to stir me. I can go to my office, get on my face before God, open up this book, and I can get motivated real fast. If I got to have somebody else keep pumping me up, hey, I get more excited being here than anywhere. I've preached in other places, and I get it. There's times I'll do that, but I'd rather be here than anywhere. This is where I get most excited. Say why? Because this is our church. This is where I'm supposed to be. We all hurt. We all suffer. We all have joy and rejoice together. As the body grows, there's going to be changes. Do you know, from the time you were a baby, your voice changed? Now, it's kind of funny. You become a baby twice. You know, you don't have hair and teeth when you're born. And usually by the time you die, you don't have hair and teeth. Amen, Brother Steve? You can buy them. Pack them in there, amen. Snap them in. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? The body's supposed to grow. It's going to change. It hits a certain spell, and it gets a little awkward at times. And, you know, those are the junior high stages. There's nothing funnier than a 12 or 13-year-old. They wake up one morning, and their brain fell out their head. And it takes them about 2 or 3 or 4 years to find it. And then once they find it, you're not sure they ever found the same one. And by the time they get to be a senior in high school, they know how to run the whole world. They can go from nothing to knowing the whole world how to run it in a matter of no time. And then they get into the real world and find out they didn't know what they thought they knew. As the body grows, there are changes. It'll take up more space. It needs more care. It takes more time. God help you if you got a teenage girl. You better build another bathroom just for one. Amen? And if you got a teenage boy, it's even funnier. More training it takes with more people. As it grows, there are many changes that take place. As our church grows, we're all going to need to step up and do our part. God compares the church in the Bible to a body. Many different members, but one unit. It's not universal. Did you know that all of you don't make up my body? I don't need you to make up my body. This is independent by itself. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way a church is supposed to be. It doesn't have to have everybody else to be a body. So we don't need all those things. We just need to develop ours. We need to develop our part in the church. We need to be here. We need to be reliable. And we need to do what, and we need to grow with it. I'm glad my fingers grew from the time I was born to where they're at right now. I'd look pretty funny if my hand was only that big. I wouldn't be able to do what I do if my hand was so small I couldn't write. You look at a baby's hand, there's no way they could hold a pencil. It's not big enough. I'm glad those body parts grew as I grew. It doesn't mean I added more fingers. My wife will remember this. The house we rented in California, little Filipino lady. She had two thumbs on each hand. She had a thumb and a thumb growing out of each thumb. She could count to 12, amen? It was a little creepy till you got to know her. She had a good attitude about it, but she had a thumb and a thumb coming out. I mean, it looked like this, you know? It was just kind of different. You almost want to say, how'd that happen? But I didn't say that. My mama taught me better than that. She just slapped my head off. Wait a minute. I'm glad, though, as I grew, my hands grew. I'm glad my arms grew in relation to my hands. Can you imagine having baby arms with these hands? You know, look like a dinosaur. You know, it amazes me. Some of you better be glad that your feet grew. Now, some of you, you got a lot of growing down there that you did. Now, my wife's, her feet didn't grow much. She got them little baby feet. When we first got married, we had to go to the girls' department to buy shoes. I can't tell you how many pairs of shoes she cut the little bows off the top to wear. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. When you wear a size 4 or 5, you know, it's hard finding shoes for an adult lady. Now, wait a minute. All of us, aren't you glad it grows in proportion? That's what we're to do as a church. We're to grow in proportion. Let's not fight with one another. Let's not have division. Let's work together. That's what God talks about. It's not a universal thing. Everybody making up the church. It's a called out assembly of local believers. If you're not a member, how about you join it? That's the best way to be a part of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know for sure that if you died, you go to heaven? If you don't know that, you can't be a member of the church because you have to be saved to be a member. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died tonight, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands.